The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
It is the Starting Lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Cade here with you. 656-9900 if you want to get on board with us, talking a little bit about the change to the TSSAA sporting calendar coming up. I guess later today there will be a vote to decide what they're going to do with football, or at least to give some level of advisement for what they're going to do with football and girls soccer for the upcoming fall session. Cater, you were pointing out some other sports though that are going to be able to play this fall, it looks like, that weren't mentioned in this.
Yeah, so the TSSAA executive director, Bernard Childress, when he confirmed yesterday about girls soccer, about football, sent out a memo to all member schools, and he just mentioned those two sports. Did not mention cross country, did not mention golf, did not mention volleyball. So it's safe to assume that those sports are still a go and still ready to roll out. It's just the more contact sports that take place in the fall.
Okay, so let me get You hate that for those kids. I understand they're trying to keep people safe. And it's weird what we've seen in the state of Tennessee. I saw this from a news station in Chattanooga that tweeted this out earlier today. We have had a little more, about 55% of the number of total overall cases of COVID-19 in the state of Tennessee that the state of Georgia's had. We have had about a fifth of the deaths that they have had, which is wild. About 20, you know, I think it's just over 20%, about 22% of the deaths that they've had. So it's not to put a number on anybody's life or anything like that, but it's just been wild how differently we've dealt with this in the state of Tennessee than other states around us, like South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, that those states have dealt with. When you look at Knox County, it's been even better for us during this time. I mean, so we've been really blessed that we haven't gotten hit that hard with it. So we'll see how it goes. I do read into this to some extent, maybe I shouldn't, that Governor Lee, there is the expectation that we see a continued spike in COVID cases around the state of Tennessee, and we'll monitor that. I'm going to have Adam Linton from our news department come up to talk to us a little bit and give us a little bit more of an explanation of wherever we're at with the governor's state of emergency extension, and also Knox County Schools, the plan released by Bob Thomas, superintendent of Knox County Schools, just yesterday. Today is the birthday of actor Alan Ruck. Alan Ruck played Cameron on Ferris Bueller, and in my estimation, that is the greatest movie sidekick of all time, is Cameron from Ferris Bueller. It's also the birthday of Dan Aykroyd, who played the sidekick in, of course, Ghostbusters and Spies Like Us, other movies with SNL alumni. So we've been talking a little bit today about top sports sidekicks. Now, before we even get into the conversation where we're talking about sports sidekicks, I want to remove Scottie Pippen from the table, because Scottie Pippen is the greatest sports sidekick of all time. Scottie Pippen could have been a number one on a team, and he ended up being a number two on one of the greatest teams of all time and the greatest dynasty possibly since the Celtics back in the day. So in the modern era, I'm going to remove Scottie Pippen where we're talking about the greatest sports sidekicks of all time. Kaner, am I wrong to think that it just seems like the NBA lends itself to sidekicks a lot more than any other sport does?
I think so. I mean, it's easier to have a sidekick, in my opinion, in the game of basketball, whereas in football, you truly, I mean, if you want to say a receiver is the sidekick to a quarterback or a running back is the sidekick to a quarterback, then that's fair. In baseball, it's really kind of hard to have sidekicks. In hockey, I believe it would be kind of harder to have sidekicks. But in basketball, and correct me if I'm wrong here, if you see this differently, in basketball, I feel like you can have that established number one, like the guy. And you can have a number two that is probably second in points, but gets more rebounds, that plays more minutes, that distributes the basketball more. And it's really, I mean, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, when in their time in Miami, it was in that order. It was LeBron James and it was D Wade. D Wade was the sidekick to LeBron James, and D Wade is a fantastic player. Scottie Pippen is the sidekick to Michael Jordan. So I just think assigning those roles is a lot easier to identify in the game of basketball, whereas it might be a little bit more tougher in other sports.
Yeah, well, so I think in basketball for the majority of my life, it was you have a number one and a number two. And you have, so you would have, whether it was Dr. J. Moses Malone, Bird McHale, Magic Worthy, Stockton Malone, or Jim Malone, then Stockton. You would always have a number one and a number two, and we'll put together the best roster we can around those two players, Jordan and Scottie. it got to Kobe, Shaq, and then Kobe. And then Kobe, and then Pau Gasol. And then we'll surround the best team we can around those guys based on what our salary cap looks like, our free agency situation looks like, guys being willing to take that role within a team to be the third best player, fourth best player, to just go be a role player on the team. We got, because of the Celtics, when they got the big three, and the ability of Doc Rivers to be able to manage that, the ability of Danny Ainge to be able to manage that. You saw other teams try to go for a big three, right? Even when you look at the San Antonio Spurs for a while, it was Duncan and Kawhi, and then it was Kawhi and Duncan as the sidekick a little bit. So you add other guys like Tony Parker and Manny Ginobili.
Yeah, I would consider those guys sidekicks to Duncan.
Yeah, to Duncan, okay. And so you've had those guys over the years that have been the sidekick, and it was always 1-2 punch, and then put the rest of the roster together. You had, since the big three, you had teams try to put together a top three players, right, or a big three of their own ever since the big three in Boston, and most of them have not been able to manage that. But frankly, let's be honest, LeBron's never been able to manage that for the most part. I mean, they won titles in Miami, but that was underachieving what the Miami Heat did with that level of players that they had. I mean, Chris Bosh was 25-9 every year. Chris Bosh gets to Miami, and he's a guy that just sits in the corner to shoot threes. Kevin Love was a guy that was 26-12 before he got to Cleveland. He is a corner shooter, is what he is in LeBron James' offense. So it was just LeBron never could manage it probably as well as it should have been managed. Maybe a lot of that's because LeBron never had real coaching and didn't trust coaching and wasn't willing to play within that kind of a system. It's one of the things why I'll never look at LeBron as the greatest of all time, because LeBron was not able to fit within a system particularly well. He did what LeBron does. And you could all, whether it's Miami or it's Cleveland, you can all get in the spot that LeBron tells you to get into, and that's the way we're going to space the floor. But you look at the Golden State Warriors. A sidekick that we don't talk enough about is Klay Thompson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Klay Thompson's a fantastic player. He could fit with anybody, because Klay Thompson gets his without having to have the ball in his hands, and everybody else has the ball in his hands. I mean, so even when they were winning titles and it was Steph, Klay, Draymond as their big three, and then it became Durant, Steph, and then Klay as the big three there in Golden State, and they were able to win more titles and kind of create that dynasty. But you at least had that 1-2 punch with sidekicks one way or the other that kind of happened. I do think we're getting back to sports sidekick mode a little bit right now. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's Kawhi, Paul George. So we're seeing that a little bit more right now in the sport of basketball than the big three that we saw for about a 12-year run or so. That's kind of what we're getting back to a little bit right now. In football, if I were to say the greatest sidekick in football, who would that be?
You know, Edgerrin James to Peyton Manning back in the day was a really good one. Reggie Wayne to Marvin Harrison, early part of Reggie Wayne's career, was a great one as well.
Oh, that's good. So you're looking at two receivers. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would say Rob Gronkowski is one of the best sports sidekicks in football history, because it is Brady. Brady's the man. Brady's the GOAT, much as it hurts to say. But Gronk was the guy that was always there, that was security blanket, that was the guy that Brady relied on when he needed a play to be made. So I would say that Rob Gronkowski was the guy. In baseball, is Roger Maris the greatest baseball sidekick that's ever happened? You have Mickey Mantle, and then Maris, for most of us, we still look at him as the single season home run leader. But it was still Mickey Mantle's team, and Roger Maris was kind of the afterthought.
Yeah, that's a good one. Of course, you know, that was widely talked about on Long Gone Summer a couple weeks ago as well. Jeff Kent to Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
And that Giants lineup was a really good one as well.
Is there, from the Braves pitching staff, was Smoltz the sidekick or was Glavin the sidekick?
So, man, I guess it would have to be Glavin, because, well, when Smoltz went to the bullpen, Glavin was gone. Probably Smoltz then. Maddox was obviously the alpha dog.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. I mean, those three guys are just so good.
But here's what's weird. Before Maddox got there, though, it was Glavin one, Smoltz was the sidekick. So, and then when Maddox got there, well, Maddox is Maddox. And there you have it.
Yeah.
So that was one that I looked at and I thought, yeah.
Current Braves team, Ronald Acuña Jr., sidekick Ozzie Albies.
Okay. Yeah, that works. That absolutely works right now. So it's in baseball, you see it. You know, the weirdest sidekick situation I think I can remember seeing was the mid-90s Dallas Cowboys, because the quarterback was the sidekick. And it's not something you normally see. And you never see that in this day and age, but it was Emmitt Smith and that offensive line. And then Troy Aikman was the sidekick to Emmitt Smith a little bit, which is not something you normally see. And he had Michael Irvin do whatever Michael Irvin did out on the sideline.
So early Shaq days, Penny Hardaway sidekick to Shaq.
Oh, yeah.
And then prime Shaq days, Kobe, the sidekick to Shaq. And I that's highly debated. I understand that. But the list I'm looking at right now has Kobe Bryant labeled as a sidekick.
No, Kobe was a sidekick for the vast majority of his career. He absolutely was a sidekick. He was Robin, and Shaq was Batman. That's why whenever we talk about Kobe as the greatest of all time, not to – God rest his soul. But Shaq was the alpha on those teams. Those teams were far better when it was Shaq and Kobe than when it was Kobe and Powell. And Shaq was the better player. We watched them play together. Shaq was better than he was. So that's why I don't understand why Shaq probably – doesn't get as much credit as he should as being an all-time great player, because for a decade of NBA basketball, or dang near it, Shaq was the best or second best player in the game, only behind Michael Jordan when he was younger. And then after that, it was just, Shaq was the best player in the game for a pretty darn solid stretch, and he doesn't get credit for it. So, but you know, we're in a day and age where people want to credit the guard more than they want to credit the big man, because of the way that the game's evolved and the rules have evolved. They've kind of taken the big man out of the equation when it comes to the sport of basketball.
I got two more good ones real quick. I know we're up against it. Terrell Davis to John Elway.
Oh, that's a really good one. That's a very, very good one.
Davis's career was short and brief, but it was stellar. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, OKC days, Russell Westbrook to Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, and Westbrook tried to make Durant his sidekick, and that was a horrible decision, and that's why that whole thing broke up, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is unfortunate. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. 656-9900 is your phone number. What did you to weigh in if you get it out, if you want to, Abad? Just what you're seeing if you're a parent of a child that's being affected by the change in TSSAA rules for the upcoming fall semester. Also, top sports sidekicks of all time. We'll talk to Adam Linden of our news department about COVID-19, about Knox County schools reopening. Coming up next, it's the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
High school football in Tennessee will not start on time this year. TSSAA Executive Director Bernard Childress confirmed Tuesday afternoon. This comes following Tennessee Governor Bill Lee's extension of the state of emergency on Monday that goes through August the 29th. High school girls soccer will also not start on time, whereas there was no mention of volleyball, golf, cross country, and other non-contact fall sports in a memo sent out to member schools. The Tennessee Football Coaches Association is holding an already scheduled meeting with the Board of Control today at 10 a.m. For the first time in 64 years, there will be no minor league baseball played in East Tennessee, as affiliated ball in the minor leagues has officially been canceled for 2020. I knew it was coming, but yesterday it was official. That means no Tennessee Smokies, Chattanooga Lookouts, or Appalachian League baseball this summer. Previously, Baseball America reported minor leaguers who were left out of their Major League Baseball affiliate 60-man player pool for the season are free to go and play independent ball this summer. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. We'll check in with Adam Litton of Newtalk 98.7. We return on TSL. It's 7:17 right now, but right now let's get a check of the roads and the interstates with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
His high school yearbook quote was, "Just because it's a bad idea, that doesn't mean it won't be a good time." Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Yep. Already getting the top sports sidekicks in from you guys. Tommy says on the secret text line, A-Rod the Jeter.
I just got a good one.
That is, whoa, you got a really good one.
So, okay. Zach held on with the break. I'm not going to lie. I forgot I put him on hold. So, apologies, Zach. Had to go into work. But it happens. Zach says, not an athlete, but Stevie Williams, who was the caddy for Tiger during his dominance. I mean, I know that's not an athlete, but that is a good heck of a sidekick.
That is really, really good. Handsome and the Humbles. If you've never heard their music, Handsome and the Humbles, that is a fantastic band if you get an opportunity to listen to them. Brings up Stockton to Malone and Paul Bearer to The Undertaker and Kane. That is a nice one there. Rick says Eddie Perez to Greg Maddux. I would say if you're somebody who, like me, you grew up watching the Bozo show and then yelling at the people who couldn't get it done in the grand prize game. Then you went right into Cubs baseball at noon. So I'd always eat lunch watching Cubs baseball with Harry Carey. He'd be about four beers in by 11 o'clock local time.
We need more of that. We need more of that nowadays. I mean, come on. I'd be quite, I'm working 6 to 3 this week. So technically, I mean, I could, boy. If I started right now, it would
be four beers by 11 o'clock.
Oh, huh? Yeah.
But Steve Stone to Harry Carey was always one that I would look at as a sports sidekick. We'll talk a little bit more about sports sidekicks coming up in just a bit. Adam Litton joins us from our news department now. Adam, how are you, man?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I wanted to kind of just pick your brain a little bit about, okay, what are we seeing from the governor's extended state of emergency? For the most part, I think when I see state of emergencies, I just think making sure price gouging's not there, things like that, being able to be able to get FEMA money. But it does seem like Governor Lee's state of emergency extension covers a lot more than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was initially put in place back in March, and it was to free up money to help, you know, basically with COVID-19 restrictions, ending a lot of those things, but also just putting the policies in place that we follow social distancing guidelines and putting rules, putting the rules in place for how we should reopen, do these different things. Now, there's nothing different, you know, when he made the order Monday versus what happened the next day. We're still in the same processes we were going through before that. All the things of limiting social activity, staying at home when possible, telework and telehealth, all those things are still in place. Really, nothing's different. It's just that he's extended this order now for 2 more months because obviously we have a lot more increases in cases than we were expecting to see earlier when we may have been easing some of these restrictions. So really, there's no difference today versus yesterday, only that it's now continuing because of the increase in cases. The question will be, will he put more of these things in place? He has Tennessee Pledge, which now Knox County is following rather than issuing our own guidelines. That will be where the interesting things come through if they start making adaptations to what is open and what we can do because of Tennessee Pledge.
All right, so I wanted to ask as well about Knox County schools. I saw the message from Bob Thomas last night. That Knox County does say that they do. Bob Thomas says they do believe the return to the classroom gives the best academic outcome for all students.
I mean, I think that everybody can agree to that. Having kids in class versus, I mean, you got kids. We tried doing some of this over this last year. Having a virtual class, especially with young kids, just doesn't work.
That ain't happening.
I mean, really the rough, kids are not learning that way. Maybe an older student who's a little more independent, but at the same time, do they really want to be sitting on a computer taking classes? No, they don't. I mean, the classroom setting is the best way to learn. And it's interesting, we got this statement, I think it was just this week, from the American Academy of Pediatrics, pushing for students to be back in classrooms as well. And so I think this is where a lot of this is coming from, Knox County and other institutions that are pushing for students to be back in school. They're saying, strongly advocating that all policy considerations for the coming school year should start with the goal of having students physically present in classrooms, saying that is, again, where we will see the most academic outcomes. And that's what Knox County is doing as well. They're saying, you know, our goal and our hope is to have students back in class. But for families that are concerned about the pandemic and concerned about having students in the classroom, they are developing a virtual option for those families. And obviously, if we move completely on to online, they'll be using that as well. But right now, they're just wanting input.
Okay, so they're looking for input. Maybe I read too much into that. I read into that the plan, we're going to have kids in the classroom, but if you'd like to use the virtual option, we'll have that on the table for you.
It's definitely going to be there. Because they're going to have the virtual option for families that want, you know, who aren't comfortable sending their kids to school. They're still urging at this point to say we're going to have classes in person, but they've been advocating this, you know, three different options, either full in class, a hybrid option, or a full virtual option. They're still considering that, and there's a meeting later this week or next week where they'll get together and start hashing out more of the details. But they want the public's input. Are you interested in a virtual option? Would your family take advantage of the virtual option if it was available? So they have this survey up on their website. Just go check it out. Pretty quick survey, but they want your input about whether you'd use it. It's non-binding. If this, you know, this option you actually have to sign up for later, but they just want input from the community of whether you would use a virtual option or what you'd like to see come out of it.
All right, Adam Litton from our news department, our sister station, News Talk 98.7. Thanks, Adam.
Yep, see you guys.
All right, that's Adam Litton. Kind of give you just an idea of what we're looking at with the Knox County schools, the update yesterday from Bob Thomas. Send out to all the parents that are out there, put out on the old social mediums. 656-9900 is your phone number. We'll come back on the other side. 5 burning questions and the best sports sidekicks of all time. It's the starting lineup on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
66 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
It's the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. 656-9900 is your phone number. I want to hear from you. If you're a parent that's, you know, your children have been affected by what we're seeing with the change to high school football coming up for the fall, to girls soccer coming up for the fall, what would you like to see the TSSAA do as far as getting these sports in and trying to give these students and student athletes as much of a season as we possibly can? 656-9900 is your phone number. Sports sidekicks is what we're talking about today. One that got sent to us, Eric Kane, was Don King to Mike Tyson back in the day. Do you know who Don King is?
I do not. No,
okay, Don King was a promoter that promoted, because Tyson, it was almost like Paul Heyman to Brock Lesnar. Tyson didn't do a lot of the talking, and so Don King was the promoter for Tyson's fights, and Don King did all of the talking, and he had some wild hair, and he could absolutely work the mic. I'll just say that. That guy could cut a promo as well as anybody in the history of wrestling. Dwayne The Rock Johnson-level promo cutting. Johnny says, Little Penny to go with Penny Hardaway. So that's not bad. If you don't know the Little Penny commercials either, do you?
No.
All right, then.
I'm laughing, trying to fit in. I got two other guys I have no clue. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, don't know them at all.
All right.
Shout out Coach Alberley.
Yeah, shout out to history departments in high schools and universities in our state. 656-9900 is our phone number. Time now for 5 burning questions.
Head to head, toe to toe, mano a mano. It's time for 5 burning questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections, saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
All right, Kaner, what do you have for us today, pal?
All right, which are the options for 2020 fall high school sports season sounds best to you?
It probably is push it back to the end of September and play a shortened season. I hate that for these kids. Like, I hate that for them. I almost would want to say push it to February and do the Virginia plan and play it from February through May. But my concern is that if we have a second wave of this that hits, I mean, we're still in the first wave. So if a second wave of this hits coming up this winter, then my concern is they don't get a season in whatsoever. So go ahead and try to get it in at the end of September.
Yeah, so the options on the table that they're going to discuss in the meeting later today will be 8 regular season games, 4 playoff games, a switch fall and spring sports, or start football in the spring. I think the best case scenario would to take the 8-game regular season, 4-round playoff, and start that at the tail end of September, 1st of October. I think that is the best way you can maximize getting the high school football season in under the current circumstances. But it's tough, man, tough. I'm thinking about these high school football players and these the girls' soccer teams, because you're a senior. It's what you work for, and I just can't stand it for you. Today is Pamela Anderson's 53rd birthday. Who was the biggest bust in sports history?
Okay, this is going to be Jamarcus Russell for me. The biggest reason why is because you could have asked every SEC football fan, should the Raiders take Jamarcus Russell with the number one overall pick? And literally 100% of them would have said, well, no, you don't take Jamarcus Russell with the number one pick. That's dumb. I don't care how far he can throw a football. But it didn't happen, and NFL people fell in love with the arm strength, the size, the athletic ability. It's also maybe the only time we can point to an athlete and say purple drink was the reason for a guy being a bust, and that's Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, you'll say Jamarcus Russell. That's obviously a great one. I guess I'll just take Ryan Leaf. All the hype coming out of college, a fantastic college career, being drafted number 2 overall, and then what happened from there was not good. And unfortunately for Ryan Leaf, he's had many struggles in his life, and he's rebounded, came back. He was an analyst for ESPN just very, very recently, and then he's kind of fallen down the rabbit hole again. So you think about him and his recovery as well. But as far as sports is concerned, Ryan Leaf will always be up there in regards of one of the biggest busts all time.
I'll tell you this. Like, so NFL contracts, he got guaranteed so much money, Jamarcus Russell did. That guy has done since, and I know he didn't make it as a player, but what that guy has done in the community, in his community, and I think it's Mobile, Alabama, it's incredible what he's done down there. Like, so he gives hundreds upon hundreds of Thanksgiving meals to the underprivileged in his community there. He buys thousands upon thousands of Christmas presents and gives them to kids that otherwise wouldn't have Christmas presents in his community. So while Jamarcus Russell was a bust, he's a good human being, man, and he's done a lot with the wealth that he was blessed with, whether we feel like he earned it or not.
Today is National Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day. What's your favorite creative ice cream flavor?
I know Moose Tracks is a creative ice cream flavor, but I have it so often now I'm not even going to consider it a creative ice cream flavor. It's just, it's entered the conversation as one of the normal flavors. There's a Christmas cookie ice cream that's done by Bluebell that is just absolutely spectacular. If you've never had it, it's fantastic. I'll go with that one, even though Moose Tracks would be the one that I would normally say.
Well, Moose Tracks is the GOAT. I mean, it's what you play your home games in, all right? That's the ice cream you go 10 out of 10, but if we're taking Moose Tracks out of the equation, give me a blueberry cheesecake ice cream. Don't know where you can get it, but boy, does it look good right now. So I'll take the blueberry ice cream cheesecake.
It's not a real thing, but if you'd like, but it would be, it'd be cooler if it was. That sounds like it was a very bus driver Billy Madison of you, Eric. That one.
When I don't have a clue of what we're talking about, I always Google things during the thing.
Okay.
On this day in 1992, I have a clue about this one. A League of Their Own was released. What's the greatest baseball movie of all time?
I'm going to go less obvious here. I think it's 8 Men Out. It was done by John Hughes, who was an incredible filmmaker back in the 80s. It's a fantastic movie. It's incredibly like Oscar worthy, well acted. And if you've never heard about the 1919 Black Sox scandal, it's a very interesting telling of that story. So 8 Men Out, I think, is the best one.
Well, I guess I'll take obvious. Got to go with Bull Durham. It's everything you want in a baseball movie. It's everything about coming up in the minor leagues. Of course, it was, set back a couple of decades ago. But I love Bull Durham. Obviously, Major League is up there. I love Moneyball. But League of Their Own is fantastic. But I'll go with Bull Durham. All right, last one. Do you have a problem with league commissioners not having to be quarantined for upcoming sports leagues if players and coaches have to be quarantined?
Yes, we see this from Adam Silver. Now it turns out that maybe all of these sports that they're going to put their players into a bubble, not let them go see their young children for 4 months. Adam Silver's just going to bounce around. He'll be in the studio for Get Up, and then he'll be right courtside for whatever game. No, if you're in a bubble, you're in the bubble. If Kyrie can't be out of the bubble, in and out of the bubble, you can't be in and out of the bubble. I don't understand this whatsoever. This is hypocritical on Adam Silver's part. It turns out Bettman and Rob Manfred, it looks like, will do the same thing. Yeah, I have a huge problem with this.
Yeah. It's not leading by example very well. And so, I mean, if you stay out of the bubble, then that's fine. But if you're going to be sitting courtside, if you're going to be a part of what's going on in Orlando in Adam Silver's case, and then, as you pointed out, getting on, Get Up and other ESPN programs, no, that's completely bogus. So I have an issue with it as well.
Adam Silver can't do everything he can to try to make sure Twitter's happy instead of growing his sport from inside the bubble? Of course he can. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You're going to have TV crews all over the place. You'll have everything you could possibly need there. You're asking these dudes to be away from their kids. You got to be away from your kids as well. That's the way that I look at it, or away from your family as well. That's the way I look at this. I've got a huge problem with the fact that they did this. That is 5 Burning Questions brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. LSITN.com for Life Safety Inspections. Anything to do with fire suppressions, they're the one to call. They can get you into an American-made product instead of those foreign products that you're buying currently for far less than you're currently paying. There's a reason why they're one of the fastest-growing fire suppression businesses in the entire United States, and we have them right here in East Tennessee. LSITN.com for life safety inspections. We'll come back. Will of Content is next. 656-9900 if you want to get on board. Best sports sidekicks of all time. We're talking about it on the starting lineup. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
High school football in Tennessee will not start on time this season. TSSAA Executive Director Bernard Childress confirmed Tuesday afternoon. This comes following Tennessee Governor Bill Lee's extension of the state of emergency that was announced on Monday and going through August the 29th. High school girls soccer will also not start on time, whereas there was no mention of volleyball, golf, cross country, and other non-contact fall sports in the memo sent out to each member school. The Tennessee Football Coaches Association is holding an already scheduled meeting with the Board of Control today at 10 o'clock. There's going to be no minor league baseball here in 2020. It became official yesterday, so that means no Tennessee Smokies, Chattanooga Lookouts, or Appalachian League baseball this summer. Previously, Baseball America reported minor leaguers who have been left off the Major League Baseball affiliate 60-man player pool are free to go and play independent baseball this summer. And around the NBA, 3 New Orleans Pelicans players have tested positive for COVID-19. Due to privacy laws, the players' names have not been mentioned, but all 3 have been in isolation. The Pelicans are currently 3.5 games back of the 8th-place Grizzlies in the West, entering the NBA's restart at the end of the month. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. Got the Wheel of Content coming up next on TSL, but right now, let's go check out the roads, the interstates with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment, hour number two of the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Kane here with you, 656-9900. If you'd like to get on board with us, talking a little bit about sports sidekicks, and we'll continue that coming up at 8:05. It is the actor who played Cameron on Ferris Bueller. It is his birthday today. It is Dan Aykroyd's birthday today. Dan Aykroyd, of course, the sidekick in Ghostbusters, one of the sidekicks in Ghostbusters, and in movies like Spies Like Us. So we're talking about the best sports sidekicks we've ever seen. We are removing Scottie Pippen from the table because Scottie Pippen is the most obvious and the best all-time sidekick that we've ever seen. So if you remove Scottie from the equation, who are the best sports sidekicks that you have ever seen? Hit us up on the Twitter machine or on Facebook or call us at 656-9900. It is 7:49 right now, and that means it's Wheel of Content time on the Sports Animal. Eric Kane will give the wheel a spin. A number of topics are posted on the wheel, and the one it lands on is the topic that we discuss today in Wheel of Content time. What's up?
All right, today it lands on best high school athlete you've ever seen in Ooh. East Tennessee.
That is a lot. That is a whole lot. That
Will,
is a lot
you've covered high school football in this area for, you know, a decade.
I did 11 years. Yeah, I did 11 years of high school football. I didn't do it last year for the first time. Mostly because my wife was going to kill me if I did that. So if Fair. I continued to be gone from, you know, 5 a.m. through midnight on Fridays. So for me, it's going to go to football because I got to be honest. I didn't go cover basketball. I didn't cover girls' soccer. I didn't cover boys' soccer. I didn't cover boys' baseball. So I'm just talking about what I've seen with my own eyes. I'll just say among them was Scott Gallion. Scott Gallion played for Tennessee. He played for the New York Giants. He played
Seymour.
Football. He played baseball as well. He was a fantastic baseball player. So Scott Gallion's one of the best. Like, you could have thrown Scott Gallion in any sport, and he'd go out there and star in it. Like, he was just one of those guys that could just ball. Just hand him the ball and go. I don't care what sport. If it was cricket, I think Scott Gallion would have been good at it if you gave him an offseason to work on it. So that's one of the best just all-around athletes that I've ever seen. Played quarterback and safety. Played safety in high school because he could keep everything in front of him and stay and run with anybody. Played linebacker at UT and in the NFL. So Gallion's in that conversation. The best single high school football player I've ever seen, and part of this might be because of the offensive line. It's a guy that didn't have a big college career or make it to the pros, but especially in the last decade or so that I've seen, he was just a little undersized, and that's a guy named Darrell Rollins Davis that played at Fulton that was a running back. He had great vision. He was a fan, just a great running back. If he was, you know, 205, that guy would have been starting in the National Football League. He wasn't. But that guy could absolutely find a hole anywhere. He was going to find it. He didn't, you know, a lot of times you see, especially good athletes in high school, that they want to bust everything to the outside and try to outrun everybody, and they end up getting drug out of bounds with a 12-yard gain, when if they'd have kept it up the middle, that it had a 26-yard gain. You never saw Rollins Davis do that. I mean, he had fantastic vision, fantastic balance. So I'll say the best in my time covering high school athletics, Darrell Rollins Davis from Fulton is the best college high school football player that I've ever seen.
Yeah, there are so many. And like you, I mean, obviously my mind goes straight to football. I've covered the most football in this area. I haven't been doing it a long time, so bear with me. Remember 20s Club. I was playing just a couple years ago. Since I've been covering high school football in the last couple of seasons, I got to say, probably the best one I've seen out of Fulton, DeSean Page. Okay. Just an absolute stud. Played linebacker, played running back. It's getting Power 5 offers right now with a JUCO round out of Fulton. Just an absolute stud. You know, built very, very well to play in the front seven at the linebacker position at a Power 5 program. So I would say DeSean Page probably is my answer. But, I mean, Cade Ballard at Greenville, the quarterback. I mean, just perfect for that system that his dad ran. Yeah, T. Higgins, Amari Rodgers, obviously, Oak Ridge and Catholic.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I didn't get to see. One thing is, John Wilkerson always calls the Catholic games. So no. I never once called a Catholic game, so I didn't get to see. I didn't get to see Harrison Smith, because that was the other guy, the two guys that I thought about were Amari Rodgers, Harrison Smith. T. Higgins is right there with everybody as far as just the best athletes that we've seen in East Tennessee. You're right. I did call one game that T. Higgins was involved with. And he didn't have a massive effect on the game, honestly. But I didn't get to see Harrison Smith when he was in high school here. And that guy's as good of a safety as we have in the National Football League. So you got to assume that he was as good of an athlete as we've ever had in East Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume as well. I didn't get to cover any of his games as well. That was before my time. You go back to when I was in high school, two running backs that are my age played against Devern Young. He went on to Tennessee. Didn't really do a whole lot at Tennessee. Did return some punts, did return some kicks, but he was a running back at Bearden and was just phenomenal. So played against Devern Young, can tell you firsthand that he was good. Andy Hibbett at Gibbs was really, really good there in the 2010, I believe. Broke a bunch of school records. And so those are two running backs back from my day, about 9-10 years ago, that were really good in this area as well.
Okay, there you go. It's I hate there are a lot of guys that were like that. It's tough when you start breaking down, okay, who's the best athlete? Because with athlete, you probably do need to look at multiple sports. Did they run track? Did they play football? Did they play football and basketball? We've had a number of guys that have done that. We've had guys, like I mentioned, with Sky Gallion. That guy, he was 4 years older than me at Seymour, and like his sister was in my grade. That guy, I'm dead serious when I say this. I think if you put Scott Gallion, you said, Scott, 6-year-old Scott's going to learn to start boxing instead of playing football and baseball, I think that guy would have been a professional boxer. I think if you said he was going to be a tennis player, that guy would have been a professional tennis player.
I don't know about tennis.
I think he could have done it. Like, honestly, I'm dead serious. Yeah, I think he could have done anything. And it was just a matter of when did he have the opportunity, you know, what did he decide to play? And football and baseball was the thing that he decided to play. And I don't know, they would have gone pro in baseball if it wasn't for the fact that he decided to choose that football was the thing that he was going to do.
Scott's a good dude. He's head coach now, isn't he? What's he doing?
No, I think he's doing FCA stuff.
I knew he was doing that at one time. I used to keep up with him a little bit.
Yeah. I don't even know, honestly. I really don't know him that well at all. I think I've spoken to him 5-6 times in my life. And so, but his sister was in my grade growing up at Seymour. So he was older than us, like I said.
Just got a message, Todd Helton.
Todd Helton. Yeah, that is a great one, because that guy could have done, you know, could have done football, could have done baseball, probably went a pro player in football, but he could have been a really good college player in football. I didn't see Todd Helton. That was before my time.
Yeah,
me neither. I didn't see Todd Helton. I didn't see Chad Pennington. There's one that right before my time of calling high school football, or I guess it was during my time, but I never called him. It was game. Dennis Rogan was another guy that whenever I bring up anybody from Fulton, a lot of Fulton people will tell me Dennis Rogan's the best athlete that Fulton has ever had. So that's another one that you look at. We both kind of went with Fulton players. Are you surprised at that?
No, I mean, Fulton's a very, very, very good program in this area that's had a lot of success and has turned out some really good athletes that have gone on and done some great things. So I'm not really surprised at all.
Okay, that's fair.
Got a message right now. Best basketball player, Jimmy England. I don't know. That name doesn't ring a bell. But pure shooter, best ever athlete, Ron Whidbey from Fulton, Fulton.
Yeah, okay, that is one that you hear a lot about, is Ron Whidbey as well.
I believe still the only 4-sport letterman for Tennessee. Wow, thank you, Ronnie, for chiming in.
Yeah, that is a really good one. That is a really, really good one. It looks like Jimmy England's in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. So, went to Holston High School back in the day.
Can't go wrong there.
No, you can't. So, yeah, that's the best that we have seen. The unfortunate part is most of us, for you from playing and then covering directly after college, and then for me, a lot of what we saw was the last decade.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, it's either I saw it in the mid-90s or I saw it in the last decade, and that's about the extent of it. So, but those are the best that I have seen in this.
And there
area.
Are many more that I know we're forgetting. So
absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. There are many more. The fact that we forgot Todd Helton is
proof in the pudding, right there.
Frankly, criminal is what it is. We'll come back on the other side. Greatest sports sidekicks of all time. Will West, Eric Kane, starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.